It's been 53 years since the Supreme Court ruled in Gideon v. Wainwright that everyone has a right to an attorney, even if they can't afford one. That decision created the need for public defenders trained in criminal defense to represent defendants and to ensure that they have a fair trial. But the growing prison population and lack of funding for public defenders has led to overworked attorneys with limited resources and no relief, hence unequal justice. The Marshall Project, in partnership with The Guardian, is in the middle of a three-part series examining the consequences local jurisdictions face as they struggle to uphold the Constitution and provide legal defense for defendants as required under the Gideon v. Wainwright Supreme Court decision. Eli Hager is staff writer at The Marshall Project. His research took him down to the rural parishes of Louisiana. Eli, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
And Rhonda Covington is down there in those parishes, district defender in parishes in East and West Feliciana in the state of Louisiana. Rhonda, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How much of a struggle is it to defend and deal with the caseloads that you are getting, and what are the consequences for defendants?
Well, it's a tremendous struggle for me as an attorney and as the district defender because I have to oversee all of the cases that come through. We have a growing caseload and not nearly enough resources in order to deal with the issues that we have. We need things like investigators, translators, attorneys, you know, just to name a few. And it has an impact on the people that we represent. I've got people who call me on a daily basis and want me to, why aren't you at the jail? Why aren't you meeting with me? Why aren't you helping me? And when, you know, I explain that I have got over 200 open felony cases, plus all my other duties, and the defendants don't want to hear that. They just want you there for them. They don't want to know what all you've got to do. But given the responsibilities that I have, I can't be there for all of them the way they want me to be.
Eli Hager, have you viewed that situation that Rhonda is describing broadly throughout the parishes you investigated?
I did see it broadly. Rhonda's situation is particularly extreme because she is the only full-time attorney there in her entire district, which handles over 900 cases. So she has a particularly extreme scenario. But in three or four of the other parishes I went to and in all of the parishes in Louisiana, they're having to put earlier this year, they had to put defendants on wait lists for a lawyer because they just had so many cases and not enough lawyers. So it's very common.
How are public defenders funded in the state of Louisiana?
So one of the unique things about the state of Louisiana is that they're funded primarily by traffic tickets at the local level. So there's a fee attached to traffic tickets and other court fees that goes to the public defender's office, but it's very unstable. So if the police aren't writing as many tickets or if there's a flood like there was recently and there aren't as many people in court and not as many tickets being written, their funding goes down the drain. They get a portion of their funding from the state, but that was also cut this year because of a huge budget crisis that Louisiana had. So it was kind of a 1-2 punch that public defenders around the state faced this year.
If they get the money from traffic tickets, is it the case that essentially the prosecutor's side of the equation controls the money for the public defenders on some level?
It is absolutely the case.
The district attorneys have the power to do a pretrial intervention. And they do that with the traffic tickets, which is our bread and butter. So what they'll do is to send a letter to the people with the tickets and say, hey, if you want this kept off your record, pay the fines and do this or do that. But you pay the fines directly to the district attorney's office and they get 100% of those fees and we get nothing. So basically, the DA's offices around the state are able to control how much money each district receives.
Rhonda Covington is something of a one-woman show in the 20th District, which covers two parishes in Louisiana. As Eli Hager said, over 900 cases. You have to do all the office work, the mail, everything. You're the sole attorney there, and you still do individual pleas. Eli, describe the mass pleas that you observed.
Right. So in the 16th district, which is a little ways away from where Rhonda works, I witnessed mass pleas. So this is a hearing in which 30 or even 50 people are kind of pleading to felony cases altogether. So they're convicted and they're sentenced all at once in a hearing that lasts only a few hours. And
these are all different crimes.
These are all different crimes, and these are all serious crimes. So some people were being sent on the spot to prison for 10 or 15 years. And they're read their rights all together. So the judge will say, do you understand your right to a jury trial? And then the whole group of them will say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Do you understand your right to counsel? Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. So it's kind of this mass processing that happens. And it's partly because it's something that's happened in that district and some other districts for a long time, but it's been exacerbated by the overload that the public defenders are feeling and the fact that they can't give more individual attention to each of those cases.
Demographically, who are these defendants? What do they look like?
Almost entirely black. They're all indigent because these are all cases that the public defender is handling. But they were mostly black. So you see this eerie scene in the courtroom of defenders and prosecutors and the judge all being white, and they're kind of facing this panel of mostly black defendants who are all in chains at the ankles, at the waist, and at the wrist. They have not been convicted yet, but they're all pleading together to crimes and will about to be sent to prison together.
Rhonda, where does the satisfaction come in your job? And tell me about a victory or two.
Well, the satisfaction comes from helping the people who need help, regardless of their situation, whether or not they're homeless or drug addicted. If we can get them into a program, that's a wonderful thing. And we've done that. I mean, I had a guy who was a Vietnam veteran who had gotten addicted to drugs while in Vietnam, and he was in his 60s and was caught with drugs for the very first time. And we got him into a rehab through the VA, and in which he stayed for over a year. And he came out of there a whole new man. And that was a wonderful victory there, just seeing the change in his life. There are a lot of people who are accused of crimes, and sometimes it's with little more than just a rumor. And I think that if the public really realized what was going on, that they would be afraid. They would be very afraid.
Rhonda Covington is district defender in parishes in East and West Feliciana in the state of Louisiana. Rhonda, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
And Eli Hager is a staff writer at the Marshall Project. His research took him to Louisiana as part of a three-part series that the Marshall Project is doing with The Guardian on the situation of public defenders in the United States. Eli, thanks to you.
Thanks for having me.